An unlikely union is taking place across the country. Drug users, primarily opioid users, are banding together, unionizing, to fight the stigma of their drug use, whether they're trying to quit or still using. They're pushing for ways to bring people out of the shadows, to teach them how to use more safely, something called harm reduction, with needle exchanges, overdose reversal drugs like Narcan, safe use sites. And they're fighting drug-induced homicide laws, which punish the people who sell drugs that lead to fatalities. Drug users unions have formed in California, Washington, North Carolina. Jess Tilley is founder of the New England Users Union. As she'll explain, she's not using now. Can't say she won't again, but if she does, it will be safely, something that's controversial in recovery circles. She joins us now. Jess Tilley, welcome.
Hello.
I want to start with talking about you. You started using heroin at a very young age, and it was initially not a very pretty picture.
No, not at all. And I mean, I initially started at 15, and I always tell the story about coming back to school when I was 15 and realizing that probably nobody in my high school had injected heroin that weekend. That's where the stigma first began. And by 18, my two closest friends were completely strung out, and I actually had this animosity for heroin. However, within the next year, I would be sexually assaulted, and I turned to heroin. It was my first drug, and it was the only thing that allowed me to feel present without actually having to be present, if that makes sense. However, my use got very chaotic because I was using alone and in secrecy, as many drug users do. And when I found harm reduction, I realized I didn't have to be ashamed because I was injecting a substance into my body. And this is the misconception with harm reduction. I was taught that it is heroin, it can kill you, but there are ways to use safely until I was able to reach that point where I wanted to stop. People always think recovery is either you're completely abstinent or you're in full chaotic use, and there is a world in between. Everybody's recovery looks a little bit different.
But you know what you sound like to people who work in recovery. You know, you sound like the person who says, yeah, I can go back and use if I just, you know, have these things in place, and that's a dangerous message to send because most people can't.
I always make the point to say, I know I'm not infallible. Like, I know that if I use too many days in a row, I'm right back where I was years ago. I'm also realized that I'm at a high risk for overdose because I'm a recreational user, if anything. So it's a very thin line that we walk. However, I feel as an outed drug user, I speak for the people who can't speak for themselves. I want people to realize that they don't have to be alone in this.
Well, talk about that. Talk about the world of harm reduction. What do you mean by that?
So in the world of harm reduction, it's any positive change. If somebody, say, is injecting five times a day and we are able, and I say we as harm reductionists, are able to help them achieve a goal, maybe their goal is using two times a day, or maybe they want to stop injecting and just sniff. To us, that's a positive change. I call it like the pre-treatment phase or pre-contemplation, where I've always seen this in every person I've worked with in harm reduction. There comes a point where they realize their lives are way too chaotic or their use is just uncontrollable and they want to stop. However, that stopping may not be for the rest of their lives. It may just be for a month. It may be for, you know, a period of 3 years, and then they may try using again. And this is where the judgment comes in. And this is where I see people fall into the gaps and die. Because when that time comes, they tend to be using alone. I always talk about people using behind closed doors and dying because they're so ashamed of that stigma that comes upon a person who chooses to pick up again. That's where I differ in my life. That's where I don't have that shame anymore. Like, I will talk about it. Like, if I decide to use again, I make sure I have people around me. I make sure there's a plan in place that I've talked to. I'd say my support, my network, and that's what keeps me alive.
Your point is that in having a union, in making it something that people are acknowledging by joining a group, it will take away the behind closed doors usage, which is where people overdose alone and die.
And that they do have rights. We as drug users are treated as second class citizens. When we have a president that is talking about life imprisonment or murdering drug dealers, I mean, most drug dealers in this country now are middle class white Americans who are selling to support their own habit. They are the children of parents that are speaking and saying, we want drug dealers killed. They don't realize it's their own kids who are dealing.
You also say some of these tough policies, mandatory 20-year minimum prison sentences, for instance, that's in Southern California. Rhode Island lawmakers are looking to pass a similar law prosecuting drug dealers for murder. You say, if that's the case, then if a drug dealer is sitting with a user and that user overdoses, the drug dealer might be less likely to get help because they will
exactly
be convicted.
Or friends, even if a friend is in a room. I mean, I think about back in my years of using, I would have been considered a drug dealer because I was procuring drugs for friends. Now, if a friend had overdosed in the room with me and I knew that I was going to go to jail for the rest of my life, you know, I mean, me personally, my morals, I would take that chance. But there are plenty of people who are terrified or they're afraid to stay with the person until help comes. And right now we are really trying to combat what you mentioned in the beginning, the induced homicide law. We are going to put forth a living will and testament that we would like everyone to sign, whether you be you're a drug user, you might consider doing drugs, if you're a loved one of somebody who's doing drugs, that if they should die, that nobody can be charged with their murder or our murder. We're saying, like, say my best friend sold me drugs and I died, but I asked for those drugs. I would not want my best friend going to prison for the rest of her life. You know, there's going to be pushback, we realize this, or, you know, there's definitely situations that would not fall within this. It's more of a statement that we're trying to make. I mean, I understand I've lost close friends, and my immediate reaction was to blame the person until I realized, like, that could have been me.
But what else does a union do to help people who maybe are struggling, who are out of control in their use? What else would you do?
What we do as a union is we come together, we allow people to share their experiences, to talk about the stigmatization. We address mistreatment of drug users at emergency rooms, in housing.
Talk about some of those things that happen.
People who have housing and that may have had a child that overdosed in their house cannot call 911 because they'll lose their housing. Think about how terrifying that is for a parent. Or somebody who's in school, who's on scholarship, they can't call 911, or their friend can't call 911 because that person will lose their scholarship. Every choice we make, we're thinking about our own safety and how not to be persecuted by the society that we live in. I try to say, instead of drug user organizing, I say community organizing, because we're a community that actually stands up for itself.
Yeah. How do you pay for this?
So I do have a grant, and it allowed me to finally be able to pay myself a very small amount, but also, more importantly, to pay peers to do the work. And so we have peers going out and doing street outreach. And as far as getting my supplies and naloxone and fentanyl test strips, it has either come out of my own pocket or out of donations and from other harm reduction programs. Been so supportive.
You have these test trips to show people how to test their drugs to make sure the deadly fentanyl isn't in it.
Yes. And what is great about these test strips, I mean, we tell everybody to approach every drug because we're finding a lot of cocaine with fentanyl in it, which is really dangerous for recreational drug users who have never done an opiate because they're not expecting to have fentanyl put into their system. But what the fentanyl test strips allow is dialogue to happen. I've seen time and time again where people who swore up and down that they knew their supply, that there was no fentanyl, when they actually had the tangible evidence of using the strip, their behavior has changed so much around drug use. There's been such an uptick in Narcan distribution where people are requesting it and parents are requesting it, loved ones of drug users are requesting it because people know that they're at such high risk for overdose now. Yeah. And people are not using alone anymore as much. So this is another thing that the fentanyl test strips have allowed us as harm reductionists, as outreach workers, to really address this stigmatization about, like, look, it may be upsetting to talk about that you're relapsed or that you're using again, but you could also die. Like, this is a choice here. That's why I say I don't advocate people using. I advocate for people to have a choice around their use, if that makes sense. And I advocate for people to be able to talk about their drug use and not hide and be in shame.
Well, what do you say to people who say that these harm reduction methods, whether they're primarily Narcan to reverse overdoses, that what they do is that they allow people to use over and over and over again? I mean, there's examples of people who've been revived 20 times, and that the money should be put into helping people stop completely.
I'm all for treatment. I'm all for getting more beds for treatment. But I've also been hearing this for 20 years. We need more beds. We need more treatment. And you know what I've seen? More places shut down. When I have people, my program participants, who are calling me and telling me they've been on wait lists for weeks, what do they do? So, and when people tell me, like, oh, harm reduction is enabling, I'm like, it's enabling people to live another day. It's enabling people to get to that point where they can enter treatment when they want to.
Are you also saying that the reality is that some people may not ever want to? So why not help? Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, is that what I want for people? No. Do I want people to go through the chaotic hell I went through and my severe active use? Absolutely not. And I think that's part of what being in a union does too. We have younger people that come in that we can share these experiences of what we went through. Keep in mind, we have a lot of people in the union who are former users who just don't feel comfortable being in NA or AA. So this is a form of support for them too, where they're giving back to the community.
That's Jess Tilley, founder of the New England Users Union. There are other drug users unions springing up across the country. Jess, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.